Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm Tanner Olson, and this is the Walk a Little Slower podcast. Here we talk about hope and heaviness, creating and continuing joy and sorrow, life and God, questions and answers, and everything in between. This is a podcast where you are invited to slow down, to lean in, to hold fast, and to eventually keep going. Welcome. Welcome back to another episode of the Walk a Little Slower podcast. It's me, your host, Tanner. And I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy that you are here as well. And it's about time that I have a new introduction for these podcast episodes. Unless you're like me and you try to say the intros of podcast along with the host. I do that for a couple of podcasts. Sorry to brag about how cool I am. Today's episode. Well, before that, I know what you're thinking. You're about to start thinking, this introduction is a wreck. There's another podcast? This guy's released 2 podcasts in 2 weeks? Times are changing. I'm going to tell you right now, don't get your hopes up. I don't know when the next episode will come out or if there will ever be another episode. There will be. But I love this podcast, but it is so hard to stay consistent with the podcast. I wish that I was better about it. But thank you so much for being here, for being part of the Walk a Little Slower podcast community, family. Thanks for all your messages and saying, hey, when are we going to get another episode? Well, here it is. Here is another episode. Before we jump into my conversation with Kimberly Finney, I just want to just do a few housekeeping things. Summer is almost here. It's basically here. And summer for us means that we go up to Arcadia, Michigan for the summer. Sarah, my wife, works for Camp Arcadia, so we'll be up there all summer. And in the past, I've traveled throughout the summer and spoken at churches and other places throughout the summer months, but not this summer. This summer, I'll be taking a step back from travel, from being on the road and hanging with Judah, Pancake, and spending time up in Arcadia, Michigan. I'll be speaking up there twice, once for a teen week and then week 9 of the summer. It's like one of the last full weeks of August I'll be up there. And I think there's still room. So if you want to come up and spend a week at beautiful Camp Arcadia, you are more than invited. But summer will look a little different. So I may not be sharing as much content, whether that's podcasts, Instagram posts. I will be sharing a good amount on Substack though. So if you're not following on my Substack, go check that out. It's in the show notes as well. Okay, that's like the only... Oh, one last announcement. If you work for a church or host a conference or are a teacher or are hosting a gathering of some sort, or you have this idea of hosting an evening of music and poetry, let me know. I would love to come speak to your community, share poetry, deliver a message, some stories, whatever it may be. So keep that in mind. And if you have an idea or want more information, send me an email, writtentospeak@gmail.com. Okay, that was the longest introduction for this podcast ever. But on today's episode, I'm joined by my friend, Kimberly Finney. One of my favorite things about the internet is how it just brings people together. And thankfully, somehow, some way, Kimberly and I, our paths, they crossed. Kimberly is, well, she's a helper. I mean, like, she's, you'll hear it in the episode, she's radically kind, and she's just an incredible helper. She's also a professor, a writer, an editor, a counselor, and she's just incredible. She's a good friend, someone who encourages me and inspires me. She recently released her first book, which is titled Of Wings and Dirt, And it is incredible. It's a beautiful book of poetry, and she shares one of her poems in this episode, and I think you're really going to love it as well. Kimberly is also the founder of the community, The Way Back to Ourselves. If you are a writer and you want to be part of a writing community, or just an artist in general, check out the links in my show notes. You're going to want to follow along with what Kimberly is doing and what she's all about. So that's all I'm going to say. There's not going to be an outro for this. Once the conversation is done, the episode's over. I'm not going to say anymore. You've heard enough of me. All right. Here is my conversation with the incredible, incredible and radically kind Kimberly Finney. Oh, yeah. I don't care about sound stuff. As people can deal. Like, So this is the podcast. We've started the podcast. We're recording.
Yes.
This will be part of it. But I am learning that I am not somebody who, like, everything doesn't have to be perfect.
Like, I should learn from you.
Like, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe this is bad, but
I think I should.
Good enough is good enough. I've fully believed the philosophy of, like, just ship it. Like, let's move on to the next thing and get it done. And if there's a big problem, we'll come back to it later, or we'll fix it the next time. But nothing has to be, for me, perfect, because it's never going to get there. And we could be circling stuff all day long, whether that's with, like, writing a poem or story, recording a podcast, or, like, cleaning. I'm like, it's like, good enough is good enough. And then my move on.
I definitely need to take those notes to heart. I'm working on it. I'm better than I used to be, but yeah, the perfectionism is something that is, it's always nipping at my heels. But the other thing that you taught me,
I could be more thorough with some things, or consistent, but yeah, good enough is good enough.
I was going to say, yeah, I love that one. And I also love the other one you taught me not too long ago, people gonna people. I think that's a good one too. Good is good enough. Done is done, and people gonna people.
People are gonna people. Anytime you leave the house, let's just gotta remind yourself: people are gonna people. Get out of the way, because it's gonna happen. They're gonna do their things, and I'm gonna do my people things, and it's a scary, scary. Welcome to the podcast. I am happy you're here. I am just happy to be here, and just happy you are here as well. When you've listened to, you know exactly what question is coming. When you meet somebody and they ask you the question, what do you do? What do you tell them?
Oh my goodness. You know, what's so funny is that is a hard one to answer probably for the first time in my life, because I have been an English teacher and department head for a very long time. What an easy cut and dry answer to give somebody. I'm a teacher. And then when they find out that I taught high school students, they're aghast. And they're like, how do you do that? So it always makes for interesting conversation. The past couple of years have changed everything. So I haven't been able to make full sense of things. What I have been saying is I am a professional helper and artist. Because through The Way Back to Ourselves, which is the little platform ditty that I founded and I helped to curate, it's about helping people and bringing people together. And at the end of the day, I guess I could still say I'm a teacher, because it's my heart. I am a English professor now, so I'm doing that, and I can't believe it, but I get to say I'm a writer, you know, and another hat is a counselor in training. It's a complicated answer. So
it's like, you are in a lot, like, you're in a lot of transition seasons, it seems like.
Yes.
But yeah, you said, you know, I am a writer. How long has it taken you to say that?
Ooh, man, that's a great question. Well, I can tell you, I know that I've been a writer my whole life. That is in my DNA. Even before knowing that I was going to be a teacher, I was going off and writing poetry and writing under the tangerine trees in our 5 acres growing up in South Florida. I know you know a little bit about that, South Central Florida. What's up? But I will say that I owned it in different seasons better than others. I had some bang ups. I was an MFA dropout. I had a pretty poor experience and some professors that, unfortunately, they mocked my faith or like that I was Pollyannic. And I crashed and burned really bad. And I walked away from writing for a while because I didn't know how to cope with that kind of, people gonna people, like we talked about earlier, right? I couldn't cope with the criticism. So I think what's super healing now is after years of hiding in academia and thinking I am a technical writer, I am an editor, I am an English teacher, things that I could own. I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to sit here and say to you right now that yes, I am a poet and I am a writer. I'm embodying that.
And it's a true thing as well. I don't tell this story very often because I, to be honest, I feel like I've blocked it out and I've just now recently remembered it. But when I first went off to college, I wanted to be I bounced around all these different majors. I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I kind of landed on I wanted to be an English teacher, middle school, high school,
I knew
like
I liked you.
whatever. Well, this is here the story
Oh, just
continues.
wait.
So I there was this praxis test, this basically this test you had to take to get into like the school of education or whatever. And I took it and I passed. I think it was like you had math and science. It was like math, science, and writing. I think that's what it was.
Yes.
Passed the math, passed the science, did not pass the writing. And I was like, well, that was the one I felt most comfortable with. So I think I took it again. I think I paid the 50 or $200, whatever it was. And same thing happened. I just didn't pass the writing. And I was like, that was like, I thought that I was a decent, I thought I was a good writer. And so I was like, I pivoted and okay, I'm not going to be a teacher. I'll do something else. But I'd always loved to write. But in that season, I was like, what if I'm not like good at this? What if this isn't the thing that I'm supposed to do, the thing that I love and feel most at home doing is not the thing I'm supposed to, or I'm not good at it. But prove those suckers wrong. I'm doing it
I
now.
know.
So
Doesn't that feel good?
yeah, I was, well, then I,
What does
yeah.
the praxis know anyway?
Yeah. Well, that's what I said to the practice, but the practice has been a real person. But so so that was just one of those things where I was like, okay, how do you do the thing that you're supposed to do differently? Or without being endorsed or given the green light by somebody who gives green lights and red lights. And then I've realized you can just make your own green light and just keep doing it.
I love that. Make your own green light. So good.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree.
And that's what I've been doing for 10 years. And kind of the you've been doing it as well, where you're just with, I mean, I want to talk about a lot of things, but let's talk about the way back to ourselves. And you called it a little ditty. It is not that. It is this, I would say, this vibrant and eclectic community of writers and creatives. And you are the one who started it. Where did the idea come from?
Well, see, that's one of my favorite questions, and I'm so glad you asked. And I will try to tell you an answer without writing a book.
Oh, that's fine.
So, I mean, the way back to ourselves literally is my heart's cry. It comes from the deepest place of my soul. So, for some listening, they know this story because we have some overlap with friends, but a lot of people don't know it that are listening. And I got really, really ill about 4 years ago. I always had endometriosis. But it increased to stage 4 endometriosis quite aggressively after we had our miracle baby. So within a couple years of having my daughter, I started to lose the ability to walk. And long story short, it was so aggressive that it was spreading and attaching to multiple organs and creating to the point that my body was kind of going into a failure response and certain organs couldn't function the way they needed to so I could live a healthy life. And so I went in and had one surgery after another, after another, after another. And I know that that sounds really dramatic, but that's literally what happened in the course of a few years. Well, my second one, I got sepsis and I had post-surgical complications. And so what does this have to do with the way back to ourselves? Well, as a teacher and a lifelong public servant, I was feeling really grieved already. with trends that I was seeing with my students and within popular culture in general. So that's kind of what was going on the outside, is I was seeing more depression, anxiety, grief, division going on in the kids I taught, but also we're in a COVID world at this point when I'm getting sick. And I'm also looking at all these other tensions and how fractured we're becoming, you know, politically, the racial tensions, all of these things that are so complex and painful. And so my heart was just broken open for all of these things. And then my family, at the exact same time, COVID is happening, all this stuff, we're going through the darkest time of our lives because I'm fighting for my life with sepsis. And I literally had a fever dream of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it was almost like I was dialoguing with God, or like he was just moving within me. And I literally was telling him, there's got to be a way back. And the Blue Ridge Mountains are the image.
Mm-hmm.
And standing and looking over them, because my parents moved there when I turned, right after I turned 18 and graduated high school. About a week later, they moved away. So I'm in Florida. They moved to the Blue Ridge area. I'd never been there beyond family vacations, but now I'm staying there all the time. I'm like a part-time resident when I'm not in classes, and throughout my life, my husband and I go there. And they keep on coming back to me, and I'm like, that image to me just makes me think of heaven. It's so beautiful. Mm. It's close to earth, you know, like it's just so naturey. For a better word, it's so beautiful. And it kind of made me see this vision of a pathway. Like, how do I get back there? How does my family individually get back? Because I'm so sick. We've lost everything. We lost the ability to have more children. So infertility is a part of our story. Fear, losing jobs, losing community, losing friends, and then seeing everything that our country and the world was going through. And I started to say, there's got to be a way back to ourselves. And I kept on saying that when I'm talking to my husband and when I'm praying. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I said, if I ever get out of this wheelchair, and Lord, if you ever heal me, if we can ever get on top of this, that's what I want to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. So I literally wrote with, you know, I have the antibiotics up my arm, you know, I have a PICC line and I can't walk, but I could have my husband bring me my laptop, and I'm literally recovering from sepsis. And I start writing this multi-page thesis about what it means to get back to ourselves. And I was getting lost in it for days on end. Fast forward a year and a half later, I start to recover. I'm in between surgeries. Sadly, I got worse again, but I got back to work for a little bit, got COVID. So COVID is bookends of the story. And I was stuck in bed for a week because I was so sick from COVID. And I said to my husband, more laptop time. Can you get me my laptop? Because you know that thing, that way back to ourselves thing? I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a website, a little blog. And I've said this before, maybe 50 people will read it. Maybe, maybe I'll get a few friends, you know? And he's thinking, oh my goodness, woman, you are so, so physically ill right now. And you want to take on something else. Okay, I'll bring you your laptop.
Yeah, this makes
he doesn't
sense.
Say no to me. He does a lot of eye rolling, but he supports me in everything, even when it makes no sense. And so he brought me my laptop. And within a few days, I made the website. And to be honest, the rest is history, because I think God kind of came in and did some amazing things. So it's wild.
I think there's a lot of ways I can respond, but just to, you've been through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you and your husband, your daughter, you've been through it, and yet you're still doing it. People gonna
Amen.
People. Look at you people.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I mean, you're just like the how do you stay resilient?
Oh man, you've got the good questions tonight. The simple answer is faith, love, and poetry. So, and I could break that down, but you have to make a t-shirt or a mug.
That feels more like a tote bag to me, but
yeah,
I think
a tote bag. Yeah. Yeah. Real earthy, like denim or like something eco-friendly.
Oh, for sure. It has to be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's gotta be very crunchy, very granola. As my students used to tease me, They said I was a walking, cliche, and they said that in a very loving way. We joked like Miss Finney drives a B or a VW. Miss Finney drives a VW, and she's crunchy and she's got the earth bag. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
That's it. Do you guys want to hear another poem? Yeah.
That's right. I am a cliche. I will rock that. But oh, turtlenecks too, turtlenecks as well.
Yes.
And so I think we joked about that before. But yeah, faith, love, and poetry is going to be what would be my answer, because one is I could never do this without my faith in Christ and without believing that there's a higher cause, infinite hope, right? The beginning, the middle, and the end. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that, on a more serious note. And then also to love, like having a love of your life that is outside of you. And that would be my husband, my daughter, my mother, my best friend, my community. And knowing in those darkest moments when the human spirit is kind of crushed and doesn't want to go on, that's when you don't look in the mirror anymore. You look outside of yourself. You look at the beautiful faces around you, and you realize, like, I have to be resilient for them. And my husband would tell me, "What other choice do you have?" I would be crying because he's so practical, but you know what? It's exactly what I needed to hear. I don't want to go on anymore. I can't be in this wheelchair another day. I can't be in this bed. And he would hold my hand and he would cry with me. And then he would go, "What other choice do you have?"
Yeah.
And it really comes down to that very like rustic, very tough question that I had to dig deep within myself and go, you know what? I can lament and those things are important. I can say, why me?
Yeah.
I'm not too proud to admit that I didn't have long stretches of self-pity. But at the end of the day, like, what other choice do I have? I've got a daughter. I have a
Yeah.
husband. They need me. And then the poetry part is that's how I processed grief and pain and struggle.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things I love most. First of all, thanks for sharing
Of
everything.
course.
I think that's one of the things I love most about poetry. And often when I say poetry, I really just mean like writing or your creative outlets. I think we all need some sort of creative outlet. But for me, it is like it's writing, it's putting words down. And I don't really know. There's the what is the it's the Flannery O'Connor quote where it's like I don't know what I believe until I write it out or something like that. And I think that's like that's how I work through things. That's how I process things. And that's really how I keep going. You know, if you were to, you know, if I'm sitting in a wheelchair and they say, you know, and people are like, well, how are you going to keep going? Like I'm thinking about the same things you just said. It's my family.
Amen.
And writing that's going to get me up and keep me going. Like that's the thing that helps me to continue. So you recently released a book of Wings and Dirt, which I love. And I
Thank
have a lot of
you.
questions about the book. How much of this book was written while you were enduring? And you still are in that season. You probably always will because you're a human being and people gonna people, right? And we got to
Yeah, that's
endure.
right.
But how
Amen.
much of this book was written over the last 4 years?
All of it.
Yeah.
So, the very first poem, which is A Brutal Love, it's the very first one, is the one that started it all.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, and I love that we're talking in April because, it's the last day of April, which is so
We squeezed it
poetic.
in. We
We
squeezed
squeeze it
it
in because it's National Poetry Month, but also April means something to me. In the sense of renewal, because historically March has been terrible. It's when I
Yeah.
got sepsis. It's when I've had multiple surgeries. Somehow it's always in March. And so April comes, but April 2 years ago, right now, as I'm speaking to you, I wrote that first poem. And so all, I think there's 75 in there, and A Brutal Love started it all. I call that the mother poem, birthing all the rest of them. And from there, I wrote, and God gave me lots of things. And I wrote almost every day that I wasn't too sick over the past 2 years. Something has been coming out of me. Some of it not worth sharing because, it's just, we're in such a bad place. We just have to string together a couple thoughts. But a lot of it became really meaningful. And I know I've said this before, but I did not set out to write a book. That was the last thing on my mind 2 years ago. I was literally just trying to survive. And also, the way back to ourselves was only in my heart and head. as a concept or a heartbeat. I also was not on any social media until 2 years ago, I think around right now, for 6 years. So none of this was on my radar, none of it.
Those must have been some good years not being on social media.
Oh, yeah. It was really great and it has changed. So when I came back, I was like, the what?
What are we doing
People are
here?
doing this?
We're dancing now? Why are we
Yeah. Oh,
dancing?
and more. I'm still trying to figure it out. Sometimes I'm like, is that even legal? Like,
None of it is. Most of it's not.
no.
Most of it's not.
I'm so innocent and naive to half the stuff that goes on. But you know what? I'm figuring things out, right? Because people gonna people. I think that's
People gonna
gonna be.
people. That's the title of this podcast.
Yes, it is.
Will you, as we're talking about the book, will you share one of the poems from Of Wings in Dirt with us?
Yes. And I have to share one of your favorites.
Yes, please do.
I
I'm
bet
looking for.
you can. This is the one I'm going to do. I'm going to do, and then maybe we can do another one later, but My Monkish Life.
Oh, that one rules.
Because
Yeah.
I know you love this one.
Oh, that's right. We were gonna really. Yes, go for it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this one I wrote in between my third and fourth surgery, right after I lost my job and I was pretty much bedridden again for a while. I would like rotate between my bed and the couch through one of the, one of the stronger episodes I was in. And I legitimately woke up around noon because I was completely sleepless and I was in extreme pain. Emotionally and physically, having lost even more things. And the rain was kind of pitter-pattering against the window. And, it's an empty house. My daughter's at school. My husband's at work. My old dog is sleeping at the end of my bed. And it's just a little autobiographical sketch in five acts, My Monkish Life. I fell asleep late last night reading Isaiah and dreamt about gardens and prophecy. I had nowhere to be when I woke. So I slept in bed until noon, listening to the rain hit the roof. And when I opened my eyes, I witnessed the humidity's dew gather so gently and drop down the window pane and cry tears like we do. Then I watched my old pup awake with my movements and rhythms to do her faithful stretches. A happy baby. A downward dog. And she reminded me in her ease that I should do more yoga because they say it's good for the pain. It's so quiet now. I can hear the prayers in my head and poetry lines run on and on, so much so that I can't catch them all. So I think I may drink my coffee in bed and learn to soak the silence in some more while my body rejects the world and what it used to do. And then I'll stop to write to you. Listen, I can hear God overhead because I finally understand I'm not a performance or what others have said I am. My worth is not measured by what I am not producing here in this bed. It's almost as if my monkish life is helping me to forget all the broken parts in my past and in my body and those who have gone because of it. Time is good at making ha hazy fragments fog over like glass, and God is good at healing. Yes, I think I'll drink my coffee in bed, turn the clocks face down, read some Romans or Rumi or Rilke out loud, and keep relearning. And maybe later, if I can get this ache in my belly to stop, I'll go study the clouds because for the first time in my life, I'm living the art of now.
That's so good.
Thank you.
I read that poem. I don't know what it was one morning. And I told you before we started, before we hit record, that I've been waking up early to write before Judah wakes up, before Sarah wakes up, before the house is going. And I think I pulled out your book and I turned to that page and I read it and I was like, I have to write this same poem. I need to write this same poem. So can I share my version of that poem?
I would love it. What a high compliment. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Did you dig it up? Do you have it?
I have it on my I'm on the computer. But
I loved yours so much, and I was like, this is, I don't know how you handle compliments. I don't do too well with them, but I was like, it's too beautiful. I can never write something this beautiful without trying to make a joke in there somewhere. It's like I just gonna do it. So
Then
here's
it's,
mine.
you know, you're making it your own.
Here's this is mine, and mine's a
Thank
little bit
you.
longer, so I would apologize, but this is my podcast and I'm a long-winded writer. So
So
it
there
goes
you
like this.
go.
Last night I fell asleep on the couch to reruns of The Office. The last thing I remember is Kevin spilling a pot of his famous chili all over the floor. All he was trying to do was help, to give what he had, and it turned into a mess. I woke up at 4 a.m. to my belt jabbing into my empty stomach. When I opened my eyes, the television was still on, filling the house with light the way I wish it had been the sun. I laid there for an hour trying to fall back asleep, but my mind was awake. It had been busy replaying the past and making a list of all the things I shouldn't have done and still needed to do. Eventually, it pushed me to place my feet on the ground. I sat for a moment on the edge of the couch, feeling my bare feet on the hardwood, wondering how I was going to make it through another day. Pushed myself up, stretched my back, let out a god-awful noise that I chalked up to be a prayer, and started a day that I wish hadn't yet begun. I'm trying. That's what I told the barista at the coffee shop. She had asked me how I was doing, and that's what I said. I wish I had said something else, but it felt good to be honest. She gave me a sympathetic look to go along with the black coffee I had ordered. She filled the mug to the top, told me refills were free, and I, for the first time in months, remembered grace isn't a gimmick, but an unending invitation to continue light and free. Light and free is how I want to live, but the hum inside my head continues to keep me from letting go of what I'm holding tight. I've got my always moving hands wrapped up and around striving and comparison while I'm somehow stuck in the past and fixed on tomorrow. I want to let go, to forget what is behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. But today it seems I've chosen noise over peace, replaced God's voice with my own, giving myself over to a life of doing instead of taking God up on his invitation to live light and free, to simply be. I sat in the corner, opened my computer, and stared at a blinking cursor. I came here to write, to take bits and pieces of my life, cut them up, mix them together, and turn them into something that will leave you feeling warm and full. Things like hope and peace and mercy, and what I know about life and love and God, and the questions I am asking him and the answers he is revealing. Poetry is just word chili, and the world is hungry. I am starving, and I'm trying not to spill it all over the floor.
Love it. Oh wait, I'm not gonna snap because I do know you a nice
Oh
hearty
yeah.
clap, right? Because
I
we're all
don't
here.
you know I don't accept snapping as
No
a
snapping. It's
compliment.
half-hearted.
All right, I
That was
want
a
to
hearty clap for you, my friend. I loved it.
I appreciate it. I want to keep talking, but I want to move to a game time. This is my favorite part of the podcast. I should just start with this part, but we're going to play the game Finish the Sentence. And you know how the game
Oh.
works. I start the sentence and you finish the sentence. And the first one is, the perfect breakfast is.
An egg sandwich. I didn't even have to think about that one.
Okay, but you have to be more specific for me.
Okay, so we call them jelly eggs in our house, which
Oh, yeah.
is
Little runny.
you. Yeah. Okay. So I'm so glad you know that because I can never ever remember the proper name. And my daughter called it that. And so that's what we call it. So it's a jelly egg. And you can do it like on a really good English muffin. And
Yes.
so I don't eat red meat, but somehow I don't know what I was thinking one day. I was looking for seasoning for the eggs. And my husband had a steak seasoning in the pantry. And I don't cook a lot. And I said, this looks good. And my husband said, what a great irony that my wife doesn't eat like really any meat, and yet she loves steak seasoning on her eggs. So a little light, you know, steak seasoning on the egg, a little bit of sharp cheddar cheese, crisp up it has to be almost burnt. I love it when the English muffin is just on the verge, right? When you broil it in the oven and it's like got those little
Or
dark
close.
spots. Yeah. And then when you bite into it, you get that crunch. And then, of course, the jelly egg. And my
Yes.
daughter is a huge egg sandwich fan. So egg sandwich was the love of my life. And then I had my daughter, and my daughter's the love of my life. And now I get to have egg sandwiches with my daughter. So does it get better?
I think there's a poem in there somewhere. Also, do you, this from one poet to another poet, do you hate when people say stuff like that to you? We're like, oh, you should write a poem about that. Or that's a poem. Do you hate that? You're more gracious than I am, because I'm like, all right, give me a break.
You know what though? You've been hustling for like 10 years, so you've probably heard it a lot more than me, but I have heard it lately. And so now I'm like, yeah, maybe like I
Yeah,
gotta
guess a good
bookmark
idea.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
So
idea.
I've only been hearing that for like, the past couple years. So
Oh, you just wait.
just
Just
wait.
wait.
Yeah.
It just keeps.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, when people say it to me, I pause for a second and I think, either is this a good idea or a bad idea? And now I've gotten to the point where I say, I'm not going to write about that. And then I All right.
So
Maybe
good.
I've said too much or revealed too much about myself in that snippet. The next one. I don't know much, but I know for certain that.
I don't know much. I don't know much, but I know for certain that I don't know much.
Beautiful.
Which I gotta tip my hat off to Socrates on that one. Because he has a really eloquent quote that's been attributed to him. And I think Thoreau quoted it in his book. But the idea of like someone of true wisdom and character knows that they don't know. And so for me, and I'm definitely learning this in my second act, there's something spiritual about going into your 40s, I think, that all the rules, all the things I thought I knew, I didn't know. And so, if that's true, won't that be true in 10 years and in 10 more years? So, I just want to be curious. I want to be open to life, open to grace, and to be really open and authentic about the journey I'm on, and not try to pose in a certain way or act like I have everything figured out. I think I have some fundamental things figured out. Faith, love, and poetry. The rest, I'm going to stay curious about.
It's this like a it's a life of letting go.
Yes. It's like I think in your 20s and 30s, you're trying to figure things out and you're really listening to the world's messaging. So you're
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, American dream, white picket fence, get all these degrees, get. And then especially going through a health crisis, I think that it sped up a lot of that unlearning I wrote about in my monkish life. That, wait a second, all these things that the world is screaming at us, all these things that I'm going by other people's rules. Why? And is that even working for me? So lots of unlearning happening.
I think that is the gift of grief,
Yes.
where you're just kind of everything kind of gets stripped, taken from you. Dreams, ideas, hopes, the way you thought life was going to look, health, walking, and then you're just beginning with nothing. We're beginning new.
Yes, and I'm going to kind of go on a quick tangent because you just made me think of it, and it helped me carry myself through this last leg. At my daughter's school, there's this sweet older man that works car line. His name is Coach Ray, and he has been battling his own health problems, very serious. And yet he was still coming to work and running the car line. And here I am, I can't walk barely at all, but I could pull myself into my vehicle and drive through car line to get my daughter. And this is just this past year, I was waiting for my fourth surgery. And he said to me, and again, it was the whole unlearning and relearning how to deal with grief and the gift of grief, is he said to me, you know how I see it? And this man has been extremely ill. Every day I go vertical is a good day. Every day my feet hit the ground is a good day. And before I was ill, I could have never believed that. I wanted too much. I wanted this, I wanted that. I wasn't a bad person. I was just I was just young. I was stupid. I was trying to do what the world told me to do, chasing things. And now, going through all of this, I think of what he said to me that carried me through the last leg. If my feet hit the ground, if I go vertical today, it's a good day. So good.
I don't know much, but I know for certain that if I go vertical.
Yep.
Oh, it's good. All right.
I just love those God. I just love those God winks, or like those divine appointments. My mom has always called it like, oh, you had a divine appointment, you know, that I was supposed to meet him.
Yeah.
And our paths of suffering needed to cross so I could hear that to give me the strength to keep going.
It's almost as if God wastes nothing.
He does not.
I'm always ready to
help.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, I just that came really fast. I thought these were going to be harder. They're not as hard as I thought. So,
well, I'm not. This is not a test. I would tell my eighth grade self that
it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're okay.
Yeah.
I got bullied really bad in middle school. So
mm-hmm.
I was a little egghead, real sensitive, and did not keep up with all the cool kids. So yeah, I would tell her it's going to be okay and that you're okay.
I've learned over the last couple of years just how softness is a strength.
Mm.
But you don't think it is at first, especially when you're in middle school or high school. Yeah.
Absolutely.
When I wake up tomorrow, I will
write and love my people.
Yeah. The thing I want you to know about God is
grace, grace, and more grace.
There's a poem. That's a poem right there. You should write a poem.
You know what? I think I will. I don't have to tell you no about that one. That's a good one.
All right, last one. When it's all said and done, I hope they remember me as
kind.
Yeah.
I know it sounds so silly, but that I really would want anyone who comes in contact with me to be like, wow, she is radically kind. That not just kind, but I want to be radically kind. The kind that, and you know, I'm not even going to be able to live up to my own hope and mantra, but even if mm-hmm. if I'm saying I'm going to be radically kind and I miss, at least I'm kind. You know what I mean? But I want to be the nicest person, you know, and just and to hold space for people and to love them the way that God loves us.
I think it's scary to think, but also interesting to think, especially when you can get the answers for it. It's like when your name is brought up, what people say about you from the jump, right? Mm. Like, so you and I have a couple of mutual friends, Steve, Edward,
Daniel.
And when we,
Daniel.
And when we talk about you, when you're not in the room, the conversation always begins with Kimberly. She's so great. Kimberly, she's so kind. Or Kimberly, I don't know how she does it. So there's, when it's all said and done, I know three people, myself included, four, we know how we'll remember you.
Well, you're going
to
make
me cry. And now I'm going to have to go back to them and say, guys, what she wants us to say is she's radically kind.
Lead with radically the kind.
Okay, guys. Yes. She's not great. She's radically kind.
Got some notes from her. No, but you know what? I tell that. I ask my daughter, how am I doing?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, and I want, she needs to see that in me. And what is so beautiful, and this is what matters the most, and of course my husband, although he would also probably include crazy and sassy and you know, passionate and a lot of other things, but he would also say that about me, and that is what's the most important thing is my daughter. Yeah. How's mommy doing? And she does say, she actually is the whole good cop, bad cop. I'm definitely the good cop in the family. You know, I get to use the whole, oh, don't let daddy see that when he gets home. I love it because if I tell her, Hadley, your room is messy, will you go clean it for mommy? She's like, you know, but if I say, because, you know, I'm so kind, she tells me, mommy, you're too kind to raise your voice. But if I say, daddy wouldn't like to see that because he's, you know, the more traditional and comes home and, you know, oh, she'll get in there and clean because she wants to please him so much. So I got to work on being probably a little more strict.
Hey, you're doing great. You can still be radically kind and strict.
Yes, there's exactly.
There's room for law and gospel, I hear. So
exactly. Firm and kind is so.
This has been fun. It's always nice to get to hang out with your friends and to record the conversation and share it with your other friends.
Was so much fun.
Where, for those who are listening and don't already follow along with your work, and where can we connect with you?
So it's pretty easy. It's going to be the way back to ourselves with the number two, anywhere. So .com, that's our website. At the way back to ourselves is the Instagram handle, which is a hub for everything. Predominantly the way back to ourselves stuff, but also some of my own things and stories going on. And our literary journal just came out, which is really great. And then we're planning this awesome retreat for June in Winston-Salem. We still have tickets and we would love to see you there. So that's the place to go. And then the email is the same thing, the way back to ourselves at gmail.com. So.
Perfect. Well, thank you, first of all, for being on the show. But also for being my friend and being a constant encouragement and inspiration. So thanks for all that you do. And I'm so excited for those listening to go pick up your book because it's out and it is great.
Thank you. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to say the same to you. You have been extremely kind from the jump. Is that a basketball reference? Did I just like... From the
we'll take
jump.
It. We will take
do
it.
Do you
yes.
approve?
That is correct. That's correct.
So, all right. Look at me go. So you've been so kind since the jump. And thank you for coming beside me and the way back to ourselves and for having me on your podcast. It's been so much fun.
Oh, you'll be back on. I got a feeling. You'll be back on. You. I love to have people who are radically kind on my podcast.